Muskerry Golf Club is a place I've never played. It's to the west of Cork City, and I'm driving there now. It's 8:51 in the morning on a Friday, and all of this audio is going to be about golf. And it's about golfing in a place I've never been. I should clarify that I once dropped into Muskerry Golf Club on a Sunday afternoon, just to see, with my wife and child, just to sort of see what it was like. And I was horrified. I was completely and utterly taken aback at the steepness of the slopes. It looks to me as if it's even steeper than Augusta. The kind of course where you have to hit well up to the left, and then the ball trickles all the way down to the right and, you know, falls into a stream or something. So I'm facing a situation today which I know is going to be tough. It's going to be hills, and that's why I've taken my anti-inflammatory tablet already, and hopefully that will be kicking in so that I can get the whole of the 18 without pain. And so I find, by the way, that if I take an anti-inflammatory, it does get me through 36 holes. So if I was playing tomorrow, which I'm scheduled to do at Fota Island Golf Club, I wouldn't have to take a second inflammatory. It's a bit like the batteries on my golf trolley. I can get 36 holes out of them. I can get 36 holes out of an anti-inflammatory. So Muskerry, the thing about Muskerry is that I don't know it, and it's been around for quite a long time. And I heard of the club as a child in Limerick, because Limerick Golf Club, where I grew up and played, I used to compete in various competitions. And every now and again, some team from Muskerry would be either beaten or would beat Limerick Golf Club. But I hadn't a clue what it was like. And the thing I do know about today isn't the golf club, the course, because it's been very, very wet in the last few days. And there was a lot of doubt about whether we were actually going to play. And I must confess that for perhaps the first time in my life, I was keen not to play and wanted to retire to play snooker instead, because I got a bit soft. But I had the steel put back into me by one of my playing partners, Alan Cuthbert. In fact, he's on the other team, so I think he sensed an opportunity to gain an advantage by making sure that we played in adverse conditions. Anyway, he's a real toughie. So he definitely said, "Oh, we're playing. See you on the tee at 10 o'clock." And I must also say my wife strengthened my resolve, because she gave me zero sympathy for my complaints about the monsoon we've had in Cork and the state of the golf course and the importance of not playing on a golf course if it was saturated, for the sake of the golf course, of course. No, I got nothing, no help from anybody. So me and my South African partner, who has never played in rain in his entire life except the one time that we went to La Hinch, and that story shall not be told for a second time. People in South Africa apparently don't play golf in the rain, because rain is associated with thunder, and thunder is associated with lightning, and lightning is associated with excitement, and you can't really putt while you're excited. So, yes, we are facing a situation where we hold the trophy, and I have just remembered to my horror as I drive the car that we were meant to come up with an actual physical object which could then be passed from team to team as this four ball, which has met, I think, on three previous occasions, we having won two of them and they having won one of them. So I'm now, my mind is now a little distracted suddenly by the need to think up or find a physical object which will be the symbol of triumph. So as I drive along the road, I might quickly swerve into the side and, you know, collect a boulder that has been there for a million years. And what better trophy could you have for victory in golf than something that has been there as long as a piece of stone has been there? Anyway, that's my problem. I won't bore you with it or refer back to it again. But I really want to talk about golf conversations. And this is the best way of putting it. If I were to do a PhD, a doctorate, today, it would be on golf. No question. The research subject that I would pick would be a golf one. And that would give me an opportunity to use all of my sociological and anthropological background in it, and it would cut down the amount of reading I'd have to do, although I'd have to get up to date, but I would be saved some effort, and the previous research I did in my unfinished master's thesis on a different topic altogether would then become very, very useful to me as a skill, that research skill. But back to the PhD on golf. Now, that probably, one of the good things about doing a PhD on golf is that I suspect not all that many PhDs have been done on golf, and there is a real opportunity to add to the knowledge fountain. And you know, you'll only get a PhD if you add some sort of original knowledge, if that's not a contradiction in terms, to the canon. So, what would my PhD be on golf? It would be on conversations on golf courses. My hypothesis, I'm not sure if this is exactly how I would state it in the submission for PhD approval, but the issue I'm going to be addressing is, are there significant cross-cultural differences reflected in conversations on golf courses worldwide? Golf is a global game, played in many different societies. Lots of evidence that there are people in outside the Anglo-American world becoming very, very good at golf, especially Korea. China's coming on song. We have a really big golf communities in those countries. And, you know, I daren't think what will happen if golf takes off in India as well. But basically, you know, we have golf as a global game, and there are people who are, you know, earning their living developing golf as a global game, and good luck to them. I'm right behind them. You know, golf isn't just to be played in Muskerry. You know, Muskerry is maybe a very fine course, but golf is a global game. So this cross-cultural study is looking at, or going to examine the issue about what do people talk about on golf courses? How do they converse? What connections are there between the conversations they have on golf courses with their friends, associates, business partners, whatever? And there's, of course, the whole issue about, are we talking about golf on corporate days? Are we talking about golf on family outings? Are we talking about golf in golf club serious matches, etc.? So there's a good variety of contextual I've got falling over my words, contextual context, but there's basically a lot of place location stuff involved. There's a whole genre of academia to do with linguistic analysis, and of course we'll be pulling that in to analyze the speech patterns of people on a golf course. But importantly, this will be a cross-cultural study. Now, I'm familiar with a certain amount of cross-cultural studies on the use of language. I used to train people on how to do staff selection, and I worked in a multicultural and multi-generational, and also in multi-gender context. So basically, I had a significant interest in the diversity of the diverse ways in which people would use speech. Why is this relevant? This is relevant because it grows out of my experience of coming to Cork and discovering that the speech patterns of and habits of people on the golf courses I played in Cork, which is mainly Fota Island Golf Course. So yeah, that's where my experience is situated mainly. The speech patterns there are different from how they were in Camberwell Park Golf Club in the UK. So this very colliding of experience, to borrow a word from somebody recently, the colliding of experience from one golf course to another is valuable and definitely worthy of study, I think. So here's the rub of it. The kind of conversation that we're going to have on the golf course in Muskerry today in Ireland, how does that stack up with the kind of conversation people have in South Africa on a golf course? Right? Do the sort of frequency of exchange, do the topics that we work on, do the extent to which all four people in the four ball are involved, do all of these compare, and if so, how do they compare with the Muskerry experience? And then if we get the research, the participant observation research, which is at the heart of my PhD thesis, because it's going to be based upon me playing golf in, as many golf clubs in as many different cultural contexts as possible, and gathering data in this method, and perhaps with the use of Audioboo to gather the conversations, which will then be subjected to linguistic analysis. So that's it, basically, folks. That's the PhD thesis, which today will be scoped a little bit more on Muskerry Golf Course, because I'm going to have to do something to distract me from these very impressively grey, threatening clouds that hang overhead at 9:03 on a Friday morning. And I make my way, after recording another episode of this diary series, Diary of a Mediocre Golfer. It's Paul O'Mahony saying thanks very much for listening. And those of you who are listening to this for the first time, please leave comments or pass it on to somebody else. I would be very grateful. Conversations make the world go round.